now we have a special panel discussion looking in detail at the Obama administration's 25-point IT reform plan. The 2013 sequestration report the administration released just days ago calls for 8% cuts in the operating budgets of nearly all federal departments and agencies. That could have a big impact on information technology spending and efforts to modernize how agencies do business. Well, for this next hour, we're going to explore progress on the signature tech initiatives of the Obama administration, the 25-point reform plan. As part of our special week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, Evaluating the Last 4 Years, we've invited experts to join us for this discussion.
Karen Evans is a partner at KE&T Partners and former administrator of the Office of Electronic Government and IT at the Office of Management and Budget. She's got more than 30 years of federal government experience, including several years as CIO of the Energy Department, and she's going to join us in just a few minutes. With us right now is Daniel Chinnock. He's executive director of the Center for the Business of Government at IBM. He's also a former long-time serving federal manager. Dan was the branch chief for information policy and technology at OMB. He was also chairman of the FISMA Information Security and Privacy Advisory Board, among other things. And he was an advisor to the Obama transition team on technology and innovation. Dan, great to have you with us.
Great to be here, Tom. Thanks a lot.
All right. And again, Karen Evans will be joining us shortly. But I wanted to ask you as kind of a framing question here. Now, you've had long experience at OMB under highly active administrations, certainly both sides of the aisle you work for. How hard is it to cause these kinds of reforms in the first place?
A lot of being at OMB is a bit more art than science. You have the authorities, especially the budget authority, that can cause agencies to pay attention to whatever the administration's priorities are. But at OMB, you're not operational. You're not in the line manager of anybody except your small staff, potentially as a manager at OMB. And if you're an examiner, you're really basically a single person working with a large agency and a large program. So being successful requires a lot of coalition building, a lot of bringing people together, but making sure they understand that if they don't pay attention while you're trying to work collaboratively, that at the back end, there's going to be some sort of a budgetary impact if they're not focusing on the administration's priorities, whatever those priorities might be.
So that means you have something of a big stick, but you still have to be collaborative anyway, because a big stick maybe doesn't work that well.
Yeah, my approach at OMB was always to try to use the carrots as much as possible and only keep the stick out for when it was necessary. And generally, agencies will want to cooperate if you speak to them at their level, talk about how this policy isn't just an administration priority. It's something that's going to make their mission more effective.
Now, with regard to this tech management reform plan, there were some naysayers at the beginning who said 25 points, that's too many. You know, you're being too ambitious. What do you think the administration was trying to show with this? And do you think that they were overly ambitious, or have they shown now that they're effective with this?
Well, in full disclosure, I was one of the folks advising as the 25-point plan came together informally as an external advisor. With a number of other former government officials. I would note that 25 points is one more than 24 initiatives, which were the signature e-government program of the previous administration, and other administrations have had similar types of numbers. You want to have enough of a set of activities that it's not just a set of pilots, that it really creates energy across the agencies. But not so many that it becomes impossible to manage. And where that sweet spot is, whether it's 10, 20, or 30, I think is less important than that the number that you come out with are well managed.
And it's fair to say, too, that even though there were 25, they were grouped under larger subcategories or groupings, which made it seem like there weren't really 25, but 25, but maybe 4 or 5. And under each one of those, there are sub-points to get it implemented, kind of a tree type of system.
Absolutely correct. There was a portfolio in each area and a set of activities, and OMB managed it like a portfolio with dates and milestones, and by and large succeeded thus far in achieving many of the reform elements.
And Vivek Kundra was the first purveyor or the champion of the 25-point reform plan and many of the sub-elements under it. And he kind of, I don't know, maybe got dinged a little bit by industry and some people in government because he was so young or hadn't had the long experience in government they had. But when you look at them, it seems as if many of them were already best practices or standard procedures and initiatives that we found across the private sector. And so they didn't really seem that revolutionary when looked at in that angle.
Yes. One of the things that I think Vivek did well with putting together the plan was he did listen to current CIOs, former CIOs and IT leaders, and he went to industry and got advice from groups like Tech America and ACT-IAC and put all this together in a portfolio that he then put out for review. And I think he came in, and he's a quick study, and although he didn't have a lot of experience at the federal level, he understood how to put those pieces together and create the plan with their input involved so that when it came out, many people looked at it and said, oh, there's my thing in the plan, so I was part of this.
And also, I've probably told the story before, but early on when I went to the OMB website and did a search for data center consolidation, which is part of the 25-point plan, we'll get into that in more detail, the memo that popped up under the search was not the latest one from the administration, the Obama administration, but Alice Rivlin's 1996 version of data center consolidation, which sounded almost word for word like the new one. Now, you were around during the Clinton administration in the OMB. So in that sense, it's sort of history revisited in some cases.
Yeah, I remember well the data center consolidation memo from 1996. The difference now is the cloud. At the time, data center consolidation was really taking a group of servers in a lot of different buildings and trying to save to some extent some real estate cost and some operational costs by having fewer servers in fewer buildings. Now, because the cloud allows so much more efficiency over the open networks in terms of computing, you can create radical economics, and many private sector companies have done that through data center consolidation. And so the administration was following the technology and commercial best practice path in implementing it today. And you see some of the numbers that the administration has pointed out. There have really been hundreds of data centers that have closed over the last several years.
And that leads into a general question that I have, because when you're talking about technology, about something that changes so quickly, now, with hindsight, do you think that back then you guys were right in sort of focusing on the right issues and that the reform plan has kept up with the advances over the last couple of years?
I assume by back then you're talking about 3 years ago and not 1996.
Yeah, we're going to stick to the current administration
today. Right. That's right. I think they were obviously perfection is always something that you're striving for. I think that by and large, the portfolio of elements in the 25-point plan was a sound reform approach for a cross-government set of activities. I think that in the next 4 years, however we proceed, I think you'll see another set of initiatives and priorities. I think that the new CIO, the CIO that took over from Vivek, Steve Van Roekel, has made a number of priorities and areas of emphasis that he's pursuing with OMB and that he's working with the CTO, Todd Park. Richard Spires, the vice chair of the CIO Council. So I think that the foundation was laid well, and that really now you're looking at some refinement.
And so would you say that at this point, taken as a whole, the 25-point plan has really become part of the daily language and thinking of CIOs across the federal government?
I wouldn't say they would say 25-point plan.
Okay.
But they will say much of the content of the 25-point plan. And I think if you ask them about the plan as a whole, they'd say, yes, the plan embodies much of what we're doing. But they're focused on cloud first, shared services, data center consolidation, all the pieces that made up the major components of the plan.
And I also wanted to ask briefly, too, about the idea that seemed to be the pattern for OMB during this process of following up with almost operational support using as a deputy agency the GSA. That seemed to be more pronounced than in prior reform efforts.
Actually, I think that's a fair continuity. Since really the 1990s, GSA and the Office of Government-Wide Policy, and then later the Office of Citizen Services and Communications along with Government-Wide Policy, has been a significant partner to OMB. Certainly there were, when I was there, and I worked very closely with Marty Wagner at the time, when he was heading government-wide policy. I know that Dave McClure and Kathleen Turco now work closely with OMB. And in the Bush administration, I'm sure if Karen were here, she would have spoken about the partnership with GSA as well. So from that perspective, I think there's continuity across administrations.
We're speaking with Dan Chenick. He's Executive Director of the Center for the Business of Government at IBM and former Branch Chief for Information Policy and Technology at OMB. It's a federal news radio discussion on the 25-point IT plan, part of our special week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, evaluating the last 4 years. We'll have lots more after the short break. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin. You're listening to Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
It's 9:21. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion on the 25-point IT reform plan. This discussion is part of our special week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, evaluating the last 4 years here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin along with Emily Kopp. Our guests today are Karen Evans. She's a partner at KE&T Partners, and she's former administrator of the Office of Electronic Government and IT at the Office of Management and Budget. And Dan Chenock is Executive Director of the Center for the Business of Government at IBM and former Branch Chief for Information Policy and Technology at OMB. Karen Evans has joined us in studio, and I want to ask you the question I asked Dan early on. As a former deliverer of reform on behalf of an administration, how hard is it in the first place to get whatever the reforms happen to be pushed through the bureaucracy?
Well, I had the opportunity to listen to Dan's comments on this, and OMB has a lot of tools at their disposal. And I was smiling at Dan's comments because those are more what he was discussing, probably more at a career level type of discussion. Whereas when you're a political appointee, you have additional tools that are available to you. And so in doing that, it's always a challenge, but what you're trying to do is not only get the career people to see what's in it for them, but also the political forces moving along. Because management necessarily is not real high on a lot of political agenda, but you need good management in order to achieve program goals. So if you could tie them that way, then program and political officials could see the value behind that. And then if worse came to worse, Dan was talking about the carrots. There were a lot of sticks that come from a political agenda, such as the one that we were pushing forward with the scorecard and the president's management agenda. And that helped change a lot of things. You would be surprised how a green dot on a piece of paper was a big motivator for a lot of deputy secretaries.
All right. So having carrots and sticks then is probably a good combo.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I wanted to get into this, some of the details of the 25-point IT reform plan, in particular the operational efficiency portion. Now, it's one thing to close data centers. It's another thing to create a marketplace for data center capacity. And that was a little tougher than just simply closing and consolidating. As we mentioned earlier, the government had experience there. Dan, if you would just briefly, what's your take on data center capacity marketplace? Does it exist yet? And what has to be done to make it happen?
So this is one where the government and industry are really evolving as technology moves forward. You're seeing a lot of activity around the cloud provider community, both in the U.S. and abroad, in terms of data center capacity modeling. You've seen GSA take a step in this direction with the cloud broker request for information that it put out. And so I think the government in this one is basically following the trend, taking steps forward. But it's still something that's evolving both in the commercial marketplace and in governments.
And Karen, your take on that idea of that marketplace and, you know, whether agencies avail one of, you know, from one another's existing capacity that might be freed up.
Well, I do think that agencies want to do that, and I think we have an opportunity with the budget situation the way that it is to gain those efficiencies. I would echo some of the comments that Dan is making about really how do you scale that, and there are a series of policy issues that I think the agencies really want to flesh out, such as data retention, records management, privacy, all the consolidation, and how that data then gets managed. And then as you know, they would always want to talk about security and security of the information. And so I think it's maturing, but there are still some policy gaps that need to be discussed as a whole.
When you look back at this White House and the 25-point IT plan, what do you think are sort of the biggest successes that agencies can now leverage, that they can build on now in order to further themselves in terms of data consolidation, data center consolidation, rather?
So I think the Cloud First initiative, which gets agencies to put more of their programs, applications online through either a public cloud in the case of a low sensitivity, low security risk application, or even a shared private cloud in the case of some higher sensitivity applications, gives agencies the ability to do some data center linkages. Karen pointed out the security and privacy elements, which are paramount, not both from a appearance perspective, because people need to see that the agencies are building it in, but also the reality, if there's a problem, that's going to be the first, some incident's going to cause everybody to run back from that process. So agencies are really focused on the right thing in looking at that.
I do think that agencies have an opportunity based on doing the data center consolidation to be able to really take a look at what programs, what applications are out there, and then realize synergies across the board, not just within their own department and agency, but with other agencies or departments that could be co-located in the same place, which would then allow them to secure the data, manage the data, and actually streamline applications.
The other thing I'd point out is shared services. In the IT arena, the more operational practice that agencies have in basically understanding that they don't have to own their own iron, their own infrastructure, through a shared services provision in the IT area. Shared services covers a lot of different functions, and Karen is an expert at having led a lot of these functions in the previous administration. But as agencies sort of practice this more, they get better at it, they understand it, it gets built into their everyday activity.
Our guests today are Dan Chenick, Executive Director of the Center for the Business of Government at IBM and former Branch Chief for Information Policy and Technology at the Office of Management and Budget, and Karen Evans, Partner at KE&T Partners and former Administrator of the Office of Electronic Government and IT at OMB. You're listening to a Federal News Radio discussion on the 25-point IT plan. It's part of our special week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, evaluating the last 4 years. It's 9:27. We'll have lots more after the short break. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Good morning. It's 9:30. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion on the 25-point IT reform plan. This discussion is part of our special week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, evaluating the last 4 years. Here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp. Our guests today are Karen Evans. She's a partner at KE&T Partners and former administrator of the Office of Electronic Government and IT at the Office of Management and Budget. And Dan Chenock is Executive Director of the Center for the Business of Government at IBM, and he's a former Branch Chief for Information Policy and Technology at OMB also. And I wanted to continue with that idea of shared services, something that there's a policy out now, a pretty complete policy. And Karen, starting with you, how does that differ really from the Lines of Business initiative that was so pushed so heavily by Mark Forman and later by you as part of the Bush administration?
Well, I don't know that it differs. I think it's the next evolution of what was envisioned with the Lines of Business. You know, one thing that's nice about information technology and the business of government itself is that it doesn't change that much, because you're always going to be delivering financial services and human resources and those types of things. And so what it allows each administration to do is take the best from the previous administration and build upon that, and then gain greater efficiencies based on the evolution of technology.
So, Dan, does that mean that something I actually said earlier this morning is that administrations, when the party changes, tend to just toss out everything that was there in place before, almost like the Oval Office is swept clean during the inauguration, but maybe not quite so much?
No. In many of the management arenas, if you look back for over the last 30 years, you see administrations building on the accomplishments of one another through party changes, and through even within parties when the administration turned over, let's say from the Reagan to Bush, you had a similar evolution in terms of process. And the Lines of Business initiatives created this infrastructure, this foundation for agencies to understand how to work. And now the shared services strategy that says, all right, everybody sort of understands what a shared service is through the Lines of Business. Pick two, or pick a few that really matter for your mission. So as Karen said, it's the next evolution, looking at how can we move from the lines of business that were started under Karen's leadership and into new areas that matter for agency mission.
And to follow up on that, then, when you look at what this White House has done with its reform plan, what about it do you think actually was, rather than evolutionary, was really revolutionary, that would not have happened in any administration during this era, but was actually caused by what people at that White House did?
So I think that the open government element of the administration's initiative, while it was, there was a sort of an e-government element, the president put a lot of focus on this in his 2008 campaign. It was a major focus during the transition. It was a major focus of Vekundra and Anish Chopra. The first day in office, the president put out an open government memorandum. That was one area. Also, the cloud, while it may have been the same case regardless of who came in, because the world was moving to cloud and the administration came in at that time, you saw Vivek really lead a lot of activity around the cloud that was new. So I think while there was an evolution, there were also new components that the administration brought in, both because it emphasized them as part of its campaign and transition, and also because it was following commercial best practice.
And Karen, what seems radically new compared to what we just talked about the build-on from the prior administrations?
Well, what I would add into this is probably where Steve Van Rogel is going right now with his digital strategy. And when you think about what's revolutionary, the concept of bring your own device to work really changes the whole landscape of what is happening within the federal government. And I know when Vivek first announced that, people kind of poo-pooed the idea because it didn't really get received very well throughout the press or anything, but it really was very revolutionary when you think about it, because the idea of the experience that you have on a device that you buy at home, you bring into the workplace, and it changes the whole way that you would have to do information security, how you bill out your enterprise, how you would buy services, and it really forces the agency to think along the lines of service and not, you know, hardware, iron, and all of those other things in order to be able to make that a reality. And that to me was very revolutionary and really very strategic in a lot of different ways.
I'd also add that the TechStat and PortfolioStat initiatives, including CyberStat now, so I guess the stat portfolio, if you will, is something that at OMB I would engage in many program reviews. This created sort of a focused a discussion that every agency had the same way and caused a lot of management focus that was somewhat new.
So a lot different from the old ITARB idea. You're old enough to remember that.
Again,
one.
You know, things progress. The ITARB was revolutionary in its time, but PortfolioStat, CyberStat, TechStat really kind of drive the ITARB, which was really focused on individual systems and advice from a group of experts for individual systems. This makes it much more systematic.
All right. I wanted to move on to a different part of the IT reform plan, and that was the idea of establishing an IT program manager as a career path. And Karen, we'll start with you because you were a CIO, we should note, before going to OMB. So how would you say they've done in that respect?
This is an area that really is a challenge regardless of administrations. And it really is trying to get the right people with the right set of skills in there and really then developing that career path through the federal government and making it very robust. This, again, is an area where the CIO Council had done a huge amount of work and the administration built off of this. And it's hard to measure success because everything moves very fast here, and failures in the federal government are really highlighted very quickly compared to failures in private sector because there are probably more learning experiences in the private sector, and they can shut things down a lot faster because of the incentives and the way that things move in the private sector. So I would say that this is an area that continues to need attention only because the people aspect of all of this needs attention.
And I think it's larger than an IT issue. Program managers are a highly skilled cadre of people who understand how to work basically up to their their executives, with their teams, and across with stakeholders. It's a much more complex set of activities than a project manager might have to sort of focus on a specific project. And agencies are moving and evolving in that stage in all parts of their activity, including technology. And some examples of agencies that are setting up program management capacity shops and that sort of thing are VA, for example, and DHS, both of whom took that element of the 25-point plan and actually built it into their operation.
So to summarize on that point of the career side, then it sounds like there's been some progress, but still a little bit more to go. Is that a good assessment?
Yep, sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
We're going to take a short break. It's 9:38. Our guests today are Dan Chenick, Executive Director of the Center for the Business of Government at IBM, and former Branch Chief for Information Policy and Technology at the Office of Management and Budget, and Karen Evans, partner at KENT Partners and former Administrator of the Office of Electronic Government and IT at OMB. It's a Federal News Radio discussion on the 25-point IT plan and part of our special week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, evaluating the last 4 years. We'll have lots more after this short break. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Good morning. It's 9:41. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion on the 25-point IT reform plan. This discussion is part of our special week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, evaluating the last 4 years here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp. Our guests today are Karen Evans. She's a partner at KENT Partners and former administrator of the Office of Electronic Government and IT at the Office of Management and Budget. And Dan Chenock is Executive Director of the Center for the Business of Government at IBM and former Branch Chief for Information Policy and Technology at OMB. And moving on with our guests through the 25-point IT reform plan, the plan calls for more use of modular development. And I'd like you to comment, first of all, how new is this really? And has there been any progress so far, Dan?
So modular development in and of itself has been around for a long time. Clinger-Cohen, Raines rules, if you remember the IT rules that were issued by OMB Director Frank Raines in the mid-90s, we're all talking about modular development. What hopefully is new is now building in how acquisition treats modular development so that industry is incentivized to deliver useful chunks. Whereas before, and this has been for 20 years, many large IT transformations were acquired through solicitations that were large, you know, tell the industry, here's what we want, and then in a year, come back and tell us what you did. And then by that time, you get to the cost and budget issues that are often are at issue with large projects like that. Building an acquisition to really deliver useful chunks and incentivize contractors to work with government on that is something that I think hopefully is new.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, or Karen, if you want to say, tell me some good examples. Are we already seeing that this concept in this administration is working?
Well, you know, I'm going to tie this back to the program manager piece, and you need to use both of these together. So I would say that we're, to answer your question directly, where you are seeing some of these pieces work out really well is at VA, and some of the things that Roger Baker and what his team has done as it relates to healthcare and those types of things. And you're also seeing this again in the area with health IT, because I think that's a nice fertile ground where modular development can really roll out. You're seeing it in state and local governments with the health information exchanges and those types of things. But this takes a big mind shift, and this has to get back to the program manager, project manager approach that we were talking about previously. They also have to think about, how do I partner with acquisitions to break these down in small enough chunks so that I have rapid development and rapid deployment? And that's a little bit different, and that really needs to be integrated into the way that they manage the programs overall, so that you can make use of other pieces that are being developed by other people and integrate them into your overall program.
Something that you're seeing in industry is the agile development in terms of software, but also other parts of technology, which is similar to what Karen talked about in terms of rapid, taking what had been a waterfall approach, build one thing at a time, wait till it works, get it right, and then go to the next thing. Basically, agile is very iterative. very rapid, quick, interactive, that lends itself well to modular, and so hopefully we'll engage that way.
So we have one more other example where this development has worked really well, and they've talked about it publicly, is at the FBI. And Chad, when he did it, the former CIO of the FBI, took a lot of things that were in place before and deployed agile development. And actually, the reason why that worked really well, and they talked about that, was their partnership with the acquisition team so that they could do the rapid deployment, mm-hmm. rapid evaluation, and that helped them manage the contractor relationship in the long run. So that serves as another model of how you can do it with all the pieces rolling forward. But there was a lot of experience along the way with that particular project to get them to that point.
And also at DHS, where the CIO at CIS, Mark Schwartz, is a major proponent of Agile, was very successful at this in industry and that bringing it to government.
Now, I wonder if the mobile strategy and also the challenges that have taken place, the formal challenge and grant type programs, have aided this whole idea of modular development, because mobile apps only do one thing and the challenges are very specific on narrow topics. Could that have helped inform the way agencies are going about this, Karen?
I think it makes you think about things in smaller chunks, so that if you're going to do a mobile application or if you're going to use things from the App Store, and as you're bringing in that next generation of the workforce, they're used to thinking of small, finite set of functionality, get it delivered, put it up in a store, make it available to the widest group of people that you can, and then move on to the next set of problems. So I think what you're seeing with the iPhone and the mobile phones and the Androids and all those different technologies, that it's okay to deliver a small piece versus the whole solution and do it in 3 months versus 5 years. And people then can see the progression, and you're more apt to get a lot of funding that way because you're being successful as you move through the smaller chunks.
We're going to take a short break.
Good morning. It's 9:51. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion on the 25-point IT reform plan. This discussion is part of our special week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, evaluating the last 4 years here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp. Our guests today are Dan Chenock. He's Executive Director of the Center for the Business of Government at IBM, and he's former Branch Chief for Information Policy and Technology at OMB. And Karen Evans is a partner at KE&T Partners, and she's former Administrator of the Office of Electronic Government and IT, also at OMB. And while we have a few minutes left, I wanted to talk about the idea of Congress and agencies working closely together on IT budget models. That was in the 25-point plan. Given the way Congress has been the last couple of sessions, let's say, has that occurred to any degree whatsoever, that kind of cooperation? Dan?
So I think that obviously in an election year, in a presidential election year, there are issues, if nothing else, because of the calendar that occur. And with Congress addressing so many issues of great importance to the country, sometimes it's hard to get their attention on management issues. But there are very strong staff in the congressional offices and members that are interested in this. And I think it's always a challenge for the administration, for any administration, to really get members of Congress to focus on these types of management issues. But when they do, and Karen and I are involved in a process working, for example, with Congress through the ACT-IACT Association around big data and trying to get them focused on that. And so when they do focus on it, it creates a very strong discussion. It's just more a matter of their agenda is so large, there's so many issues, that getting that attention can be a challenge.
I was just going to say, if you do something on big data in the cloud for mobile users, you'll have all your bases covered in one big session. But getting back to the idea.
That is the idea, to get them in there so that they can realize that it's not just a technology issue, but there's a budgetary impact, there's a policy impact, and those types of things. Because the staffers, the more they're educated about how these issues all integrate, the more apt you're going to get the buy-in that this is a good thing.
All right. And so I guess our final topic really is something that's very important, and that's the industry is involved intimately with what goes on in government, regardless of how industry is viewed at the moment, and it does wax and wane. But the Mythbusters was part of the IT reform plan, that is to get more communication ahead of solicitations between government and industry a kind of capability that seemed to have atrophied over the number of years. What's your take on progress there? We'll start with you, Dan.
So I think there is a pendulum around government-industry collaboration and how that gets translated into the acquisition process. And I think that it matters a lot. Sort of large program integrity successes can make the pendulum more open in terms of the collaboration, and large problems can bring it closed. And the Mythbusters was an attempt to kind of get above the pendulum, if you will, and say, in no matter what the current environment, there are certain rules that can be used that for government and industry to talk to one another that are part of the fabric of the FAR and of law now, but aren't necessarily known well by the acquisition staff. And continuing on a theme that Karen talked about earlier, it's less a matter of what the policy says. OMB does have to say what the policy is and what's allowed in the Mythbusters memoranda, and more changing the culture and the mindset of the industry teams and the acquisition officials who are involved in those conversations. And I think we've made progress, but I think more progress is to be made.
And I would agree with that. I think the more communication that you can have, the better off a project's going to be. But I think as the environment becomes really competitive, and I worry in this budget situation that it may a lot of challenges to contracts and how industry is going to become very competitive, that may swing the pendulum the other way to shut down some of the communications, because agencies are going to be worried about protests on contracts, and they really cannot have that as part of the way of life if they really want to be successful in the implementation.
So who was the more hesitant party on both sides? Was it contractors or was it acquisition officers?
I think, like anything, it's a shared venture. I think there are things that agencies can do to reduce the chances of protests. In fact, our center put out a report on this topic a few months ago that's available on our website. Businessofgovernment.org. I'll get that one in. More to the point, it's really a shared venture.
All right.
And unfortunately, that brings our discussion to a close. It's 9:56, but we'd like to thank our guests, Dan Chenick, Executive Director of the Center for the Business of Government at IBM, and Karen Evans, partner at KENT Partners. You've been listening to a special Federal News Radio panel as part of our special week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, Evaluating the Last 4 Years. Now, you can find all of our interviews and special web features at federalnewsradio.com, and we're going to post this entire discussion later this morning at the same place on our homepage, federalnewsradio.com.
It's 9:56. Coming up next, Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron. Carolyn Austin, Executive Vice President and General Counsel of the Coalition for Government Procurement, joins Roger to talk about federal procurement policy in relation to GSA and interagency contracting. I'm Tom Temin.
And I'm Emily Kopp. Join us Wednesday morning starting at 6 for the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We are your source for federal news now.